The events that are in the 21st chapter of Luke are also recorded in Matthew chapter 24 and Mark chapter 13. And in my introduction, I'll be referring to those chapters as I mention some things. Jesus and his disciples had been in the temple, and one of his disciples, as they were looking at the buildings that surrounded the temple and the temple itself, said, "Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here." And he was just admiring the architecture of the temple. And Jesus responded to him in a way that just surprised all of his disciples. He says, "Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." I mean, he was admiring the beauty of the temple, and Jesus said, "You see these things? They're all going to be torn down. There won't be one stone left upon another." And then the Bible tells us in the book of Mark that as Jesus, after this, set upon the Mount of Olives, four of his disciples, the two pair of brothers, James and John and Peter and Andrew, came to him privately, and they said, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the signs when all these shall be fulfilled?" And in answer to those two questions, Jesus says, he said, "Hey, things are going to get tough. There's going to come a time of trouble. Nation will rise against nation. There will be earthquakes in diverse places. There will be famine. There will be troubles. You will be delivered up to councils. You will be beaten. You will be thrown in prison. Brothers shall betray brothers. Fathers shall betray their sons. Children shall rise up against their parents." He said, "You will be hated of all men for my name's sake." And then he says in our text verse, Luke 21, verse 14, in the first part of verse 15, he says, "Settle it therefore in your hearts." In other words, get it settled in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. In other words, when you stand before these kings and you stand before these that persecute you for my name's sake, just settle it and just know without having to think about it that when you stand before them, I will put the words in your mouth that you need to say before them. I want to take a little bit broader application this morning from that scripture and say that when trouble comes, there are some things that we need to have settled in our heart. In other words, we just need to get some things settled. We need to get some things that we know for sure. We need to get some things that we don't have to think about when trouble comes if they're really true or not, because we've got it settled and we know that they're true. We need some things in our life like anchor points that when the storms of life come, we can fix our anchor on those points and we can hang on to those points. And what Jesus was instructing his disciples to do, he also instructs us. You see, the things he talked about are beginning to happen now. We see them unfolding in our world. And of course, he was talking about the times that would lead up to his coming again. And so we see some of the things like earthquakes and famines and wars and children rising up against their parents. We see some of those things happening in our world today. And we live in a time of uncertainty. We live in a time that the things that many people have depended upon are falling away. I mean, just think about the Jews. They depended on the temple. It was the place they went to worship God. The presence of God was there in the Holy of Holies in that temple. And there came a day when all that was going to be torn down. And the thing that they depended upon would be no longer there. And I believe that that is happening around us today. Things that we have depended upon and put our trust in, God is taking them apart stone by stone. And just like the temple, there's not one stone left upon another. And in those times, we need some certainties. We need some things that we have that we have settled in our heart that we can depend on as anchor points to hang on to and cling to. And so this morning, I want to preach a message I've entitled, "Get It Settled." Get it settled. I want to mention five things. I'm sure there's more that I could think of and you could think of too. But these five things I want to mention to you this morning that we just need to get settled in our heart, that we don't need to think about them once we get them settled, and that when trouble comes, we can hang on to these five things and just know that they are true and that they are not going to pass away. They are not going to crumble. We can depend on them for all eternity. So here they are. Number one. We need to get things settled with God. Before trouble comes, we need to get things settled with God. The Bible tells us that we were made to fellowship with God. We were made to have an intimate relationship with Him. And God wants that kind of relationship with every single person here this morning. Don't think for a moment that He's left anybody out. He wants to have fellowship and an intimate relationship with you. But we know from the Bible that sin messes up that relationship. The Bible says that we're all sinners. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I might be able to find somebody in my life that I can compare my life to and look at them and say, well, compared to them, I'm a pretty good guy. And you could too. I mean, you could find people in your life that if you held your life up against theirs, you might say, well, I'm a lot better than that guy. But that what that verse says is, don't compare yourself to other people. Compare yourself to the glory of God. And the glory of God is Jesus Christ. And when I compare myself to Jesus Christ, I come up far short. Just like that verse says. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we're all sinners. And the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. Not physical death, where a person is separated from their body, but spiritual death, where a person is separated from their God. You see, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, they died. They didn't die physically right away, but they died spiritually immediately. Because they were cast out of the garden. They were separated from God. And that's the wages of sin. And so today, our sin does the same thing to us. If we are in our sin, we are separated from God. And separated from God, there is something missing in our life. We were made to fellowship with Him. We were made to have that intimate relationship with Him. And with that missing, there's an empty spot in our life that nothing in the world can fill up. Absolutely nothing. And left to ourselves, that's how we would exist for all eternity. Left to ourselves, we would be separated from God forever and ever and ever. But praise His name, we were not left to ourselves. The Bible says when we were sinners, God loved us and sent Jesus to die to pay for our sins, pay the price that we owed. The verse says, but God commendeth or proved His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And when Jesus went to Calvary's cross, God took all of my sins and He took all of your sins and He laid them on His Son. And when Jesus was on that cross, He suffered the penalty for our sin. He was separated from God. That's why He called out from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And because He paid the price for our sin, He can offer a gift to every single one of us, the gift of salvation. The Bible says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Bible says that if we receive that gift, we can get things settled with God. It says in John chapter 1, verse 12, But as many as received Jesus, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Paul and Silas, in answer to the Philippian jailer's question, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. John 3:16, the last part of that verse says, whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Look, before trouble comes, or before it gets any worse, you need to get things settled with God. You don't, I mean, when trouble comes, you don't need to be worrying about, am I right with God or not? When trouble comes, you don't need to be worrying about, do I have a home in heaven or not? When trouble comes, you need to have it settled, and you need to get it settled today. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you need to call upon Him today and ask Him to save you. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I say to you, as kindly as I can, get it settled. Get it settled. Number two, get it settled that God made you for a purpose. None of us are here by accident. None of us are here by coincidence. We were not born and God said, okay, I got to find something for them to do. That's not the way it worked. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, for we are His workmanship. And that word means creation. For we are His creation, created in Christ Jesus unto or for good works, which God hath before ordained or prepared that we should walk in them. And I was thinking this morning, you know, everything in this earth was created for a purpose. Everything. The sun and moon and stars to give us light. Every body of water, every piece of land, every animal, every insect, even that little pesty mosquito, has a purpose. Created by God with a purpose. Everything in creation. And so every one of us. We were created, designed, made by God with a purpose in mind. You see, no two of us are alike. Aren't you glad there's nobody exactly like you? I'm glad there's only one of you in some cases. I'm glad there's only one of me. But see, we're all designer models. We had a couple weddings yesterday, and I told the brides and grooms, I said, you're being married to a designer model. There ain't nobody like that one that you're going to get married to. Nobody like your bride, nobody like your husband. And there is nobody like you. You were designed and created by God, and He did that with a purpose. So get it settled. You are not here by accident. You are not here by coincidence. You are here because you are part of the plan of God, and God has a plan for your life. Get it settled. Get it settled. Don't wait till trouble comes. Don't. If you want to take her to that room right there next to the nursery, you can turn the TV on and not miss the service. But get it settled. When trouble comes, don't ask the question, why am I here? When you get into a tight place, don't say, well, I don't know why I'm here. Look, you're here because God wanted you here. And He made you for a purpose. Now, we need to work to find out what that purpose is. Our Sunday school lessons the last 5 weeks, if you haven't been here, ask Brother Leonard if we got any old books left. Get a book. Read those five lessons. It talks about how you find the will of God for your life. But He has a will for every one of our lives. Get it settled. You were made by God. Number three, get it settled. Nothing comes into our life unless God allows it. Let me say it again. Get it settled. Don't wait till something comes into your life and say, oh, this must have slipped by God. No, nothing slips by God. There's nothing that comes into our life unless He allows it. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 6, the Bible says, hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah! For the Lord God, omnipotent, the all-powerful, almighty God that can do anything. Nothing is impossible for our God. He reigneth. He ruleth. What that means is that He stands at the doorway of my life, and anything that tries to get into my life, whether it's sent by other people or whether it's sent by Satan or whether it's sent by circumstances or coincidence, anything that tries to get in my life has to go through God. He serves as a guard. He serves as a sentry to my life, and there is nothing that gets in unless God says, okay, you can pass. I mean, there are people in our church that are just going through a heap of trouble right now. And I would tell them, as I would remind all of you, God's got a reason for it. He's let it into your life. It didn't slip in by accident. It didn't slip in where God didn't notice. God put his stamp of approval on it. And it's in your life this morning because God wants it there. You say, why, preacher? Why? I can't always explain why. But I can guarantee you, based on this book, that it wouldn't be there unless God wanted it there. We can see that in the first couple chapters of Job. Satan came to God and said, oh yeah, that guy Job down there, he only serves you because you've blessed him. You put this wall of protection around him. You take that wall down, let me get at him, he'll curse you. God says, okay, but he put limits on Satan. You can take away his wealth and you can take away his children, but don't touch his body. Satan did. Job still served God. Satan came back to God. Well, yeah, but you got to let me touch him. Let me touch his body. Then he'll curse you. God said, okay, you can't kill him. You can touch his body, but you can't kill him. So he gave him a terrible case of boils, and Job sat in the garbage heap of the day. So as they burned the garbage, he could get relief from the heat and scrape himself with a broken pottery. And we look at Job, and I'm sure Job might have said, although it's not a couple times in the book of Job, he mentions this. He wanted to go before God. He wanted to know why. He wanted to order his case before God and say, hey, I don't deserve this. And there are people today that have troubles in their life that we'd have to say, if we were God, they don't deserve it. They don't deserve it. But let me tell you something. It does not come unless God allows it to come. And as I mentioned in Sunday school this morning, you go and you read in Job 42, and you'll find a man that's closer to God, that knows more about God, that trusts more in God in Job chapter 42 than you do in Job chapter 1. He had to go through the valley. He had to go through the trial. He had to go through the heartaches so that he could get closer to God. You listen to me, God made you for a purpose, and everything he lets come into your life is to help you accomplish that purpose. We don't see it when we're going through the middle of it. That's why we need to get it settled before it comes. We need to get it into our mind that God omnipotent ruleth, and that there's nothing that comes into my life unless he approves it, so that when it comes, we don't have to think about it. We don't have to meditate about it. It's been settled. It's been settled. So get it settled. Get it settled. Number four, get it settled. God will take care of you. He'll take care of you. He knows what we need. He will provide what we need. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What God's saying is, look, I know you need to eat. Don't worry about it. I know you need to drink. I don't worry about it. I know you need clothes to wear. Don't worry about it. Seek me first and my righteousness. In other words, seek me and do your best to do right, and I'll take care of everything else. Get it settled. That's what it says. I was talking to a couple in our church yesterday, and they were telling me, actually giving their testimony. They said, hey, we got out of church for a couple years, and we turned away from God. We didn't even think about him. And he said, things fell apart. His wife was sitting right beside him, and she chimed in as well. Things fell apart. He said, we were in debt, and our marriage was having some really rough spots. We had some problems with our kids. And he was telling me, he said, it was, I won't tell you what he does. I don't want to give away his identity, but he was going to have to work one Sunday and ended up not having to work, and he pulled into the parking lot out here. Adam was here. He said, hey, tell me a little bit about your church. Adam told him a little bit about our church. They came. They came. He said, you know, when we got back in church and when we got to doing what God wanted us to do, God took care of everything else. He said, we still owe money, but not as much as we did. Our marriage is a lot stronger than it was. Our kids are all doing good. You see, that's the way God works. That's the way he works. If we seek him and his righteousness, he'll take care of us. He'll take care of us. Now look, I'm not depending on my pension. I am not depending on my 401k. I am not depending on my IRA. I'll be honest with you, all of those are worth a lot less today than they were 12 months ago or than they were 10 months ago when I retired. I'm not depending on them. I'm not depending on Social Security. For all I know, it won't be there when I get old enough to draw it. It's like that story of that guy that joined the paratroopers. And they gave him training, then they got him up in an airplane, and his drill sergeant was saying, now, when you jump out of a plane, take this big ring right here and pull it, and your parachute will open. You can float down to the ground, there'll be some trucks down there to pick you up. He said, now, if you pull that and your parachute don't come out, there's a little ring over here, pull it, and your backup parachute will come out. You'll float down to the ground, there'll be some trucks down there to pick you up. So this guy jumps out of the plane, he pulls that big ring. Nothing happened. He pulled the little ring. Nothing happened. And he said to himself, yeah, and I bet you those trucks won't be down there either. I bet you when I get 62 years old, there may not be much of Social Security left. I'm not depending on my Social Security. I'm depending on the one who in this book promised me in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You see, I've already got that settled in my heart. And so if they come and say, hey, we're taking away your pension, fine. You've exhausted your 401k and your IRA. Fine. Oh, and by the way, we don't have Social Security to give you. Fine. I've already got it settled in my mind, and I've already got it settled in my heart that I am going to depend on my God. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine, and no recession or depression or bank failure or anything else can take what God has. Get it settled. Don't wait till they come to you and say, hey, we're cutting your pension in half. Get it settled that God's going to take care of you. Don't wait until your bank goes bust to get it settled. Get it settled now. Get it in your mind now. Get it in your heart now. So if that trouble comes, you don't have to meditate about it. You don't got to think about it. It's already been settled. It's already been settled. So get it settled. Then number five, my last point. Get it settled. Jesus is coming back to get us. In John chapter 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I don't know if I'll go by death or if I'll go by the rapture. Don't know that. But I do know that I have a place in heaven. I do know that one day my Savior will come to me and say, like he said to Enoch, hey, Daryl, your place in heaven is ready. Come home. Come to be with me. And I'll go. And I've already got it settled. I don't worry about it. I don't think about it. I mean, it's settled in my heart. I know one day, and again, I don't know the day, but one day Jesus will come and say, hey, come on home. Come on home. Come on home. Now listen, we live in troubling times, times of uncertainty. Shouldn't be a surprise because Jesus told us they were coming. In the middle of these troubles, in the middle of these uncertainties, we need some things that we have settled. They're already in our hearts. They're already in our minds. We don't have to, like the verse said, meditate about them. They're settled. Settle your relationship with God. Settle it that he made you for a purpose. Settle it that he rules and there's nothing going to get into your life unless he allows it. Settle it in your heart that he's going to take care of you. And settle it in your heart that one day He's going to come back and he's going to get you. Just get it settled. Get it settled. And when trouble comes, as it will, as it is already for some folks, we can say, no. I'm settled on my God. I've got it settled. You're not going to get me, Satan. You're not going to get me. It's settled. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you give us that hope and that assurance. And I pray, Father, for those that are here this morning that don't have it, first of all, because they don't know Jesus as their Savior. I pray, Father, if there's just one person here this morning that doesn't know him, that hasn't asked him to save him, that right now, right where they sit, they just pray and say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell. I know I deserve to be separated from God forever, but I'm trusting you and what you did for me on Calvary to settle things between me and God. Save me. Save me. If you'll pray that prayer this morning and mean it, God will save you. God will save you. And then, Father, for the many Christians that are here, I pray that we get these other things settled in our hearts. I just pray, Father, that you could build up in us our faith to know that you're a God that keeps his word. And every promise, the ones that we talked about this morning especially, but every promise in this book is true, and you're going to do them. And so I pray, Father, if there's Christians that are here this morning that need to get some of those things settled, they'll do it today. Do it today. Just bless this time of invitation. Help those that need to come. Again, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ, help them to come and give us the opportunity to take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Just bless this time of invitation. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.